I've entitled this evening's homily, Learning to Forgive. Forgiveness does not just happen. It is something that we need to learn. What comes for naturally for us human beings is to not forgive, to harbor resentment, bitterness, to be those who will hold on to that sense of having been violated because it is my right. No, learning to forgive, the way of forgiveness, is something that is not intrinsic to our human nature. Why is learning to forgive so important? Well, let me begin by telling you the story of Immaculée Ilibagazi. Immaculée, she was 22 years old. She had just finished her semester of university, was wanting to stay on to do some further studies, but her father said, "No, Immaculée, you need to come home." Soon before her arrival back home, the plane that had had the president of Rwanda had crashed. And within hours of the president's death, Rwanda was in turmoil. The majority group of the Hutus began systematically to kill the Tutsis. And even on the radio, there would be the names of the Tutsis that were next going to be killed. And if you remember the genocide of Rwanda, it was done with machetes, with hammers that had balls on them with nails stuck into them. Neighbors started to kill neighbors. And soon after Immaculée had returned home, her own family was attacked by the neighbor next door who was Hutu. Her parents were killed, murdered. Her brothers were murdered. But she was able to get away. And she was able to run to the home of a pastor who happened to be Hutu, but was also a friend of the family. And she said, "Can you take me and these six women into your home?" And he did. And for 91 days, he hid the six of them, though the seven, excuse me, if you include Immaculée, they were hidden in a bathroom 5 feet by 4 feet. For 91 days, they lived in this confined environment. Thankfully, they were not found, although daily the Hutus would come. And at one point, Immaculée heard her name being called out. "Immaculée, we are going to find you. We are going to get you." And while she was in that bathroom, Immaculée was praying the rosary. She's a Roman Catholic. And as she was praying the rosary and got to the Lord's Prayer, she got to that part, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And her heart was filled, she said, with such bitterness, with such hate, that she was not only being destroyed by the fear of those who were trying to kill her, but by what was happening in her own heart. And she realized that she needed to forgive. 91 days after she had entered that bathroom, French troops came into Rwanda, and she and the six others were able to get into the camp, and they were safe. But she knew she had to do something. She had to forgive her Hutu neighbor who had killed her brother. And so Immaculée went and visited this man in jail. She took his hand, and she said, "I forgive you." She said this saved her life. It was like a new life, almost a resurrection. If you go onto the internet and just type her first name, Immaculée, you'll find a number of videos where she tells her story. And she says, "Vengeance would never be the answer for Rwanda. That would just make the matter worse. What was needed was the exercising of forgiveness." Forgiveness is so important. When we can forgive those who have deeply wounded us, and we're talking about being deeply wounded, that's when forgiveness is most needed. When we've been wounded because the acts that have been committed against us, the attitudes that have been directed towards us, if we do not forgive, our souls become a prison. But if we do forgive, our souls can be freed from hate, vindictiveness, and revenge. When we know, conversely, that we have been forgiven, The feeling of alienation that our sin has caused the one whom we have sinned against can be healed. And there can indeed be this bridge of reconciliation where we can come together. A cute little limerick puts it this way. Forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart and it cools the sting. Forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart. It cools the sting. There is nothing like forgiveness to bring about the change in our souls that is like the new life, like the resurrection Immaculate described. I'm not going to go into details, but there was something in my own life that took me actually decades to work through, to come to a place of deep forgiveness for a way I had been violated. But when I came to that place of truly forgiving the person who had sinned against me, it truly did lead to a deeper liberation in my soul that I had never known before. What about you? Are you harboring forgiveness? Do you know what it is to truly forgive, to be able to let go? It's something that our readings for this evening say we cannot ignore. And here the focus primarily is on the need to forgive. Sirach warns us that if we do not let go of resentment, it is going to come back and it is going to have an effect on our souls that could ultimately separate us from God for eternity. Forgiveness requires a letting go. And I like the way the writer speaks about it. He says, do not harbor anger. Do not harbor resentment. Now think about a harbor. What is a harbor for? A harbor is for a boat to come into so that it can dock and be moored. But a harbor is not where a boat is supposed to live. Where is a boat supposed to live? It's supposed to live out on the open seas. So too with us. If we harbor anger, such an attitude confines and constricts us. And because of an unforgiving heart, it keeps us from knowing the freedom of those who experience the freedom of sailing on the seas of forgiveness. When we harbor anger, when we harbor wrath in our hearts, when we become hardened and unreceptive to the forgiveness of Jesus, we cannot have a personal relationship with him. It's impossible. It's only as we are growing in the life of forgiveness that we can then sail in the direction of Jesus Christ, whom we will meet personally. We will see him at the end of our earthly life. And if we harbor resentment, our boat's going nowhere. It's staying at the dock. And so, here we hear in Sirach a pointed question. And let me read it again. If one has no mercy toward another like himself, can he then seek pardon for his sins? That's it, isn't it? Another like ourselves. Jesus Christ became one like us, another like ourselves. And his very first word from the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He had mercy towards those who were like himself, a man. Oh, if we live tied to the dock of bitterness, we can never travel towards the horizon of heaven. And that passage from Sirach ends with asking us to remember. And it uses the word remember four times. Listen to this. Remember the end of your life and set enmity aside. Remember corruption and death and be true to the commandments. Remember the commandments and do not be angry with your neighbor. Remember the covenant, the Most High, who overlooks faults. Remember, 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 remember. Sadly, what we remember is the wrong that has been done to us. And yes, we have to work through that. But what we have to remember is where we are going. Where we are going is ultimately, we pray to heaven and the place of true reconciliation. And it's beautiful that Sirach, that talks about our need to let go, is tied with Matthew 18, where Jesus talks about our need to understand what it is to have been extended mercy. Master, how many times should I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? 7 times? Jesus replied, 7 hardly. Try 77 times. You see, for the rabbis, they taught, if you forgive someone up to 3 times, that's it. You don't have to go beyond the 3rd time. Peter thought he was being generous. Well, I'm going to double it and add 1. But Jesus says, no, not 7 times, but 77 times. Why does Jesus say 77 times? Well, it goes back to the Old Testament. It goes back to the first book of the Bible. It goes back to the book of Genesis, where we have the genealogy of Cain's family, a family that was filled with immorality, murder, vengeance, revenge, and bitterness. And it recalls in this genealogy the last in the line, a man by the name Lamech. Listen to what it says in Genesis 4:24. Listen to this verse. If Cain is avenged 7-fold, says Lamech, then I am going to be avenged 77-fold. Get the point. Just as Cain's descendants responded to their enemies with unlimited vengeance, so Christians, says Jesus, are to respond to sins committed against them with limitless forgiveness. Whether or not we forgive shows whether or not we're in the family. And that's why Jesus says 77 times that he has come to undo the vengeance of Cain and Lamech and all of those who down through the centuries have said, I have a right to harbor unforgiveness. How we need forgiveness in our own lives. And Jesus puts it in such stark terms. 10,000 talents, we can't even imagine that amount of money. It would be like $1 billion. But did you hear the way in which the person who goes to the king speaks to him? He says, be patient with me, and I will repay you everything. He is completely unaware of how great his own debt is. And he naively thinks he can pay back $1 billion. We can't do it. And so what this gospel brings us all to is to that place of saying, it starts with my knowing I am truly in need of forgiveness. I am truly in need to know where I find myself in this story. And it is, first of all, in knowing that I need to come before Jesus Christ. I need to receive his mercy. And I love the fact that as Catholics, we get this. Every time we come to Mass, we do not sit next to one another and brag about all of our achievements. Well, we might do that when we're talking before Mass, but when we start the liturgy, this is what we say. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. That's the place we start, where we recognize we are in need of mercy every single day. And here's the thing, the closer you grow to Jesus, the deeper your faith becomes, the more you realize you need his mercy, because he shows you more of your heart. And what you're going to discover maybe as you get older is that you don't sin so much in your actions, but you know, we also pray in that prayer, in my thoughts. And I'll put my hand up. As I get older, I know that what goes on in my mind often needs the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. If I didn't have his mercy, I am toast. And so are you. And so are we. We are all in the same boat together. But because we have a merciful God who went to the cross to die for our sins, Jesus says, don't you dare resemble Lamech. Don't you follow in the line of Cain. No, that is not our family likeness. Ours is the family likeness of the one who died for us, who died for the sin of the world. So let's be real about this. To forgive is profoundly difficult, especially if you have truly been violated. And it's also really hard to say in humble humility, please forgive me. I have wronged you. It's one of the hardest things to do. Those are some of the hardest words to get out of my mouth. It's easier to say it here in the pulpit than to say it to the person to whom I have to direct those words. But do you remember the one who wanted to be forgiven 100 denarius? Remember 10,000 talents? That's like $1 billion. 100 denarius is like 500 bucks. But when he goes to his friend who'd been forgiven so much, he says, have mercy on me and I will pay you back. But he does not say, I will pay you back everything. He actually realizes, you know, there might be a way. I cannot completely pay you back. And that's the thing about needing to forgive. We might not be able to be completely reimbursed for the way we have been sinned against. How we have to learn the way of forgiveness. Immaculate illustrated in our opening story how hatred and resentment imprisoned her heart. And so she did something of profound courage. And she's now going around the world telling her story. She truly forgave the person who murdered her brother, who had been her neighbor. How much more are we to forgive those in our family, be it our biological family, be it our spiritual brothers and sisters when they have sinned against us? When as disciples of Jesus we are learning the way of forgiveness, we are expressing the family likeness. We are learning the way of Jesus Christ. And it's true, isn't it? Forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart and it cools the sting.